Morning, and once again, welcome to all whom we have with us. For those who are visiting with us, we are glad that you are here. We have people visiting from other parts of the world, and we are grateful to have you with us, and we welcome you to our area, and we invite you to come back at every opportunity that you have while you are in the area. We are honored, as always, to have an opportunity to assemble together on the first day of the week, and we are grateful that God has given us instructions in His Word as to how we are to worship Him. And of course, He has provided worship in such a way that when we do so according to His Word, not only is He glorified, which is our primary goal, but also we are built up, or we are edified and strengthened. And of course, that is one of the points that we have been dealing with in studying God's Word this year. Our theme for the year that I have been addressing is the subject of others. And it is based upon a theme that we began last year dealing with the challenge of Christians to go on to perfection. The idea being that as Christians we need to strive for maturity in our lives. And last year we noted a number of different areas in which we seek for maturity. And this year we have expanded that to address our responsibility toward others. Last month we talked about attitudes. The attitudes that we have and how they affect others. This month we are dealing with the idea of being a servant. And what does the Bible say about being a servant? 2 weeks ago as we began studying this, we noticed what a servant is. And basically, we described that a servant is simply somebody who is available for others. And we noted numerous examples of what servants are within Scripture. Last week we looked at the ultimate example of a servant by looking at Jesus Christ, who was willing to come to this earth not to be served, but to serve and to give His life a ransom for many, as we read in Matthew chapter 20. This week we want to expand upon what it means to be a servant by describing some of the qualities that are associated with servants. And of course, what we're interested in is describing a servant of God. And so that's what we're going to be focusing on in our lesson this morning. We're going to notice a number of characteristics that will be prevalent if we are serving the way that we ought to, according to God's Word. And the first thing that we want to notice there is that a servant is one who thinks about others. I ask you to turn your Bibles to Philippians chapter 2, verses 3 and 4. And this is actually a verse that we will be appealing to throughout the year as we deal with our responsibility to others. Paul there tells the brethren at Philippi, "Let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interests, but also for the interests of others." As you look at this particular text, you see that it is emphasized that we need to be thinking about others. And let us be reminded that in our lesson last week, we read beginning in verse number 5 of this very text, where we have the ultimate example of Jesus who thought about others. We read beginning in verse number 5 of that text, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bondservant and coming in the likeness of men, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross." Jesus did not consider it robbery, if you will, to be equal with God. And what that literally means is He was God. He was in heaven. He is deity. But He came to this earth and put on flesh, put on humanity, not to be treated like a king, but to serve. And the ultimate example of His service, as we noted last week, was dying on the cross for us. Jesus did this because He wasn't thinking about Himself. He was thinking about you, and He was thinking about me. And as servants, that's what needs to be first and foremost in our minds. in 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and in verse number 24. 1 Corinthians 10 and in verse number 24, Paul there said, "Let no one seek his own, but each one the other's well-being." That's the attitude that we need to have. And of course, this is in a context where he's dealing with, we are concerned about the conscience of others in the way that we conduct ourselves. Even in matters where we might have the freedom to do something, we need to think about others. And that's a part of serving. Another aspect of serving is that a servant is someone who is always available. A servant is someone who is there whenever he is needed. You know, when I look at this life, I know that there are some people who have ongoing needs. As long as they're alive, those needs are not going to go away. There are others who, maybe because of their circumstances, have frequent needs. They're needing different things at different times just because of limitations that they have in their lives, and they need somebody to help them. And then there are just simply others who things come up. They have emergencies. They have things that happen in their lives, and they find themselves in a circumstance where they could use the help of somebody else. And it's usually when these emergencies happen, usually they're unexpected, and that's the thing that I have noticed. And usually they happen at the worst possible time. But that's when they need somebody. And you know, so when it comes to us being able to help somebody, we need to realize that if we're here to serve as our Lord was here to serve, and when do we need our Lord to serve for us? Do we need to make an appointment with God when we are able to approach Him? Or are we able to approach Him at all times because He's available? We need to make ourselves available. We need to make ourselves available when we are needed. And I just ask myself, and I ask all of us here, are our schedules so full that being able to help somebody you need, it becomes a crisis in our own lives? You know, sometimes we make ourselves so busy that we're not able to do for others what we ought to. And we don't have the opportunities to help others because we have so filled our lives with stuff or with things or occasions and activities that we don't have time to be servants the way that we ought to. And of course that leads to the question, what would you give up if a need arose to help somebody else and an opportunity to serve somebody else? Would we be willing to give up of our time? Would we be willing to give up of our resources? Would we be able to give somebody, if they had an emergency and needed some money, would we be willing to help them even if it meant that we had to do without something for whatever reason that is? Would we change our schedules, adjust our schedules to help somebody? And you know, I'm not necessarily talking about things that you absolutely have to be doing. But even those times when an emergency arises, a lot of those things go out the window. You know, what happens when your spouse has a heart attack and goes to the hospital? Everything else doesn't matter because you've got something that you need to tend to right now. But above and beyond that, you know what I often think of is how many of us would put a television program before helping somebody? You know, as a minimal, those are the kind of things that we get caught up in. Our lives are so full of those types of things. Would we sacrifice those if somebody needed our help on a given occasion? And another question that I would ask along this line is, are we available to whoever it is that needs us? You know, and what I think of, and as I was putting this lesson together, you know, typically I come across numerous resources, and I found a sermon by a gospel preacher that gave me ideas for some of these points. And this particular observation here, you know, he asked this question here, you know, are you available to whoever it is that you need, or they need help? You know, if there's somebody that you like, you're happy to help them. You know, if it's somebody that you care about and you get along with, you're there for them. But what about that one that's not so likable, for lack of a better term? You know, maybe it's the one who's always criticizing you, or the one who's just gets on your nerves all the time. The one that you disagree with on, you know, it doesn't even have to be a religious thing. Maybe you disagree with them politically. You know, not going into that. And so are you willing to help that person as well? You know, that's really the types of things that we need to think about. You know, I'm reminded of Romans chapter 12 and in verse number 20. In that particular text there, you know, Paul is talking about how we ought to strive to live peaceably with all men as much as it depends on us. And he even talks about when it comes to a brother who has done wrong to you, rather than taking vengeance on them, let God take care of that. And then he gives this verse in verse number 20 of Romans chapter 12. He says, therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him a drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. In this text, Paul emphasizes that if you have opportunity to help somebody, even if he's your enemy, do it. Do good for them. And isn't that the very thing that Jesus emphasized in Matthew chapter 5? When you look at Matthew chapter 5 in the Sermon on the Mount, you know, Jesus was talking about there in verse number 44 or verse 33, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemy, bless those who curse you, do good to those who hate you, pray for those who spitefully use you and persecute you. And then notice verse number 45. He says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven, for He makes His sun shine on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the just and the unjust. You've got there an example of God. Does God just help those who are godly to Him? But now continue to read. Verse number 46. For if you love those who love you, what reward have you? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? And if you greet your brethren only, what do you do more than others? Do not even the tax collectors do so? Therefore you shall be perfect, just as your Father in heaven is perfect. You know, those who are worldly take care of their families. Those who are living ungodly lives, those who are living criminal lives in many instances, they take care of those that are in their immediate circle, those who are their friends, and those that they're associated with. But as I understand this sermon, Jesus is telling us is we're to be greater than that. You know, the emphasis of this sermon in Matthew chapter 5, a little earlier on, Jesus says in verse 20, I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. That was the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. Love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Jesus said we do more than that. We are to let our light shine. And we need to be there to help somebody when they need help, and especially our brethren. And are we willing to help all of our brethren? Are we willing to do something for somebody if we have the opportunity to do that? You know, the rich in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse number 18, they're called upon to be willing to share, ready to give, and willing to share with that which they have. And that's the attitude that we need in our lives. So we can see that a servant is somebody who is available whenever he is needed. But in addition to being available, a servant of God is also somebody who is attentive. That is, he's paying attention to what is going on. You know, one of the themes that is taught throughout the New Testament is the need for us to be sober. It's the need for us to be alert, to be aware of what is going on, and we could look at numerous passages that emphasize that. You know, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour, Peter warned. Paul, you know, talked to the Thessalonians. We're like not like those who sleep in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. We're alert. We are to be sober in our lives. And a part of being sober and alert means we're aware of our surroundings. And sometimes it means that we're actually looking for opportunities. You know, how many are there that are looking for ways to avoid opportunities to serve others. You know, they avoid, if they find that there's some kind of a circumstance coming up where they might be put in a situation where they have to sacrifice a little, they avoid the circumstance, the situation. We have to be careful that we are not like that. We're told in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we have opportunity, do good for all, especially those who are of the household of faith. And as I have studied that text, I have come to a realization that Paul's just not talking about physical things there. He's also talking about spiritual things. But the point is whatever you have opportunity, do good. And we need to be looking for opportunities to come our way. One who has the heart or the attitude of a servant, he wants to help others. And so he's going to look for opportunities. You know, I think of Jesus himself in this interesting passage in Luke chapter 4 and verse 43. You have here an occasion where Jesus is going out into the wilderness because he needs a break, because he's been helping people. And even in the wilderness, they seek him. And Jesus responds, I need to go to another village. I can't stay here all the time because others need me. So he was going to go find other opportunities to teach others and to help others. Titus chapter 3 and verse number 8 calls for us to be careful to maintain good works. Jesus told his own disciples in John chapter 4, verses 33 through 35, and this is after he talked to the Samaritan woman. You want to talk about looking for an opportunity. You know, she's a Samaritan, she's a woman. Jesus is a reader of hearts. Let's just say she was not the most virtuous of women. But yet Jesus took the time to talk to her and found an opportunity to teach her. And it resulted in many in that village knowing who Jesus was. But when the disciples come back and they're marveling about this, you know, Jesus says, you know, there's still months till the harvest. But you know what? Open your eyes because the harvest is white. It's time now. Look. Be looking for opportunities. One who is a servant of the Lord is going to look for opportunities to help others. Not only is he available, but he is also attentive because he wants to help others. And along with that, a servant of the Lord is one who will not make excuses. He's not going to, like I said, he's not going to look for ways to get out of doing what he needs to do. You know the typical mannerism or the typical attitude of a person, if you want to describe people in general, is we do what we want to do. You know, isn't that the way that we conduct ourselves? If there's something we want to do, we're going to do it. And if there's something we don't want to do, we'll make excuses so we don't have to do it. And that's typically what happens. That's what happens in many instances. There are millions of reasons that we can give for not serving others. All kinds of reasons. And no matter what the circumstance, if you don't want to do it, you can find a reason not to do it. If you don't want to be here and build your brethren up, you can find an excuse. You can find a hangnail or a sore toenail. Or a hair out of place, or whatever excuse you want to make. Because you don't want to serve your brethren. You don't want to be with your brethren. We make excuses all the time. You know, we can justify our actions. You know, say something like, well, they really don't deserve it. You know, they brought their circumstance on themselves. They don't deserve my help. Or you could say something to the effect of, you know what? I really am busy. And what I am doing is important. You know, I don't want to miss the finality of the season. You know, those are, you know, just people making excuses for whatever it is. I can't afford it. I can't afford to help somebody. Or I just have something else that I need to be doing right now. Now, let me be clear on this. You know, I've talked about excuses on many occasions, and one of the things that I've learned is that God doesn't accept excuses. But here is a truth. There are legitimate reasons There are legitimate reasons why we are hindered from doing things. I'm not talking about those. Things come up. And don't use that as a justification. Say, well, I'm going to call this a legitimate thing that comes up. But you know the point. We realize that there are times and there are circumstances where we cannot do something. But what about the rest of the time? Are we making excuses? You know, a good example you might think of would be the Good Samaritan as recorded in Luke chapter 10. You know, this was talked about a couple of weeks ago. Kind of along this very idea that we're discussing here. And you have this Samaritan who's robbed and beaten and left for dead. You have this man that's traveling on the road to Jericho, beaten and left for dead and robbed. And the priest and the Levite, both of them pass by. I wonder what they were telling themselves when they saw this man. You know, could they have said something to the effect of, you know what, I've got an important appointment in Jericho. I can't miss that. I'm not able to help this man. Or again, you know what, he had no business traveling by himself. This is a dangerous road. He got what he deserved. You know, or just different things like that. And I'm not saying that that was on their mind, because we're not told. But the fact is a Levite and a priest were both keepers of the law. They knew what the law said. But in bypassing that wounded man, they ignored the law that they were under. They ignored the law of God. They ignored their responsibility as a servant, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago. We just need to be careful and not make excuses in those circumstances. One who genuinely desires to serve, he's not going to let excuses keep him from doing what he can to help others. One who is a servant is clothed in humility. And we have emphasized on numerous occasions the importance of humility. Far too often, pride gets in our way of doing that which is humbling. You know, when somebody says, well, you know what, that's a demeaning task. I'm too good to do that particular task for somebody else. How many people let those types of things get in the way? The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 12 and verse number 3, not to think too highly of ourselves. In Proverbs chapter 25 and verse 27, the writer of Proverbs said, it is not good to eat much honey. So to seek one's glory is not glory. When you're trying to praise yourself, that's not genuine glory in God's eyes. How many times did we note last week where Jesus said, for example, in Matthew 10 and verse 24, where He said, a servant is not above his teacher. And that's in the context where He describes Himself as coming to serve and not be served. Jesus said, whoever desires to be the greatest among you, let it be your servant. Mark chapter 10 and in verse number 43. And you can look at numerous other examples. We need to realize when it comes to God, we are servants. And we need to tell ourselves, as we read in Luke 17 and verse number 10, that when we have done all that we can, say we are unprofitable. We have done what was our duty to do. And that's an attitude of humility. And that will cause us to do what needs to be done, when it needs to be done. A servant of God is one who is dependable or faithful. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and in verse number 2, again as we noticed a couple of weeks ago, Paul there emphasizes that a steward, it is required of a steward that one be faithful or be found faithful. Stewards are to be faithful, and we're described in the Scripture as steward. We're described as servants of God, and that is our responsibility in all things. You know, I think of the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25 where the five talent and the two talent servants, you know, the master goes on his journey and he gives them according to their ability resources to take care of and to manage and to use to make a profit for him. And the five talent and the two talent servants were faithful. And that's why when the master returned, he said to them, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." He rewarded them because they were dependable. They could be counted upon. One who has the attitude of a servant is going to be consistent in his conduct. He is going to be one that those who have a need, they know that they can turn to him. And when he says he's going to help them, he's going to do everything he possibly can to ensure that he is able to help him. And that's the attitude that we need to have. A faithful servant, a servant of God, is one who is glad and grateful to serve. It's not something that he dreads doing. We have emphasized attitude throughout our studies over the course of the past few years here. The attitude that you have is going to affect all of the qualities that we've talked about thus far in being a servant. And we ought to find joy in the opportunity to serve others. I'm reminded of Paul in 2 Corinthians 12 and in verse number 15, where Paul there says, "I will gladly spend and be spent for your souls, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved." I'm willing to do whatever it is to help you. And wasn't that the attitude that Paul had? You know, in Philippians 2, 17 and 18, he talked about how he was sacrificed as service of your faith. In the service of your faith. He sacrificed for them, serving them, and he was willing to sacrifice on their behalf. And then there's Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2. And this is actually an interesting passage here. Psalm 100, verses 1 and 2 says here, "Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing." Notice it says here who we're serving. You're serving God. You're serving the Lord. And that's really something we haven't really brought out in this study today. We're talking about serving others. But realize that we're to serve God. And when we serve God, we are serving others. And when we're serving others, we're serving God. Is there proof of that? Try Matthew chapter 25, verses 31 through 46, where Jesus describes the judgment. And in that particular text there, Jesus talks about how the goat and the sheep are going to be separated from one another. And he says to the sheep on his right hand, "Enter into the joys of your Lord." Why? "Because I had a need and you helped me." And of course they ask, "We never saw you, Lord. When did we do these things?" And the Lord answers, "You did it to my brethren, you did it to me. You served others and I noticed." And he says to the goats, "Depart from me into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels," about verse 41, "because you didn't help me." And he gives the numerous examples of that. And they said, "Lord, we didn't have opportunity, or we would have." The Lord said, "You didn't do it to my brethren, you didn't do it to me." We need to be grateful and look for opportunities to serve. You know, I'm reminded of what Jesus said in Matthew 10 and in verse number 42. "Whoever gives one of these little ones only a cup of water in my name, assuredly I say to you, he will no means lose his reward." God knows what you're doing. That's really the bottom line. And finally, we find that a servant of the Lord is one who is going to do the very best that he can. And I will tell you right now that that's all that God expects of you. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse number 11, 1 Peter chapter 4 verses 11 and 12, you read there in that text where Peter says in verses 10 and 11, "As each one is received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers, let him do it with the ability which God supplies, that in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen." Now he talks about anyone who ministers. We've talked about that word, haven't we? What is a minister? A servant. That's what the very word is dealing with. And it's actually a word that is translated servant in many instances. The doulos is the idea of what you have there. And this is also a passage that describes us as being stewards. We have responsibilities. And what God expects us to do is just do the best that we can. You know, you find a woman in Mark chapter 14 and in verse number 8, and this is toward the conclusion of the preaching and teaching of Jesus. And she finds him on this occasion, and she comes in with this bottle of costly oil, and everybody's watching. And she pours this costly oil on the feet of Jesus and anoints his feet. And even some of the disciples are indignant. You know how expensive that perfume is? You know, we understand perfume, don't we? You know how expensive that is? That money could have been sold, or that perfume could have been sold, and the money could have been given to the poor. And think how much good that would have done. Did Jesus praise them for saying that? No, he rebuked them. You know, he says that, you know, you're always going to have the poor with you. But this woman, she has done what she could do. And that's the point. She has done what she's able to do. Nothing more, nothing less. When it comes to serving others, that's what God expects of us. And we need to keep that in mind. And if you skip over to the last point on here, and we're not going to have time to deal with this, just kind of mention some of these things. You know, some ways that we can serve others, we can pray for them. Obviously, we can help them physically. And that's what we need to do. And I tell you to read James 2, 14 through 18. You can be there for them when they're needed. You know, sometimes all somebody needs is for somebody to listen to them. Sometimes all somebody needs is for them to be with them. Come and sit with them. You know, when a woman's husband has had a heart attack and is sitting in the hospital and she's in the waiting room, somebody that comes to sit with her. That's serving. You're not going to be able to do anything for him personally, but you can be there and listen and just be there by their side and support them. You can be an encouragement to them. And it's a whole nother lesson within itself to talk about the idea of trying to reach others. You want to talk about the ultimate example of serving others? If you've got a lost soul and you take the time to find an opportunity to teach them and lead them to the wells of eternal life, there's no greater example of service than that, is there? But here's the point I want to make as I bring this to a conclusion. When I say do the best that you can, and I say this not making an excuse, but it's just a fact that we need to be aware of, and that is, you can't do everything for everybody. And that's really, we just need to remind, in other words, don't think that you can ever do enough to earn God's salvation. And you're never going to be able to do everything that you would like to do for everybody else. You just do what you can. And that's the point. You know, Jesus, on that same occasion where he rebuked the disciples, said to them there, "The poor you have with you always." Matthew 26 and verse 11. You've always got and the point there is, you're never going to solve the world's problem of hunger. And incidentally, that's not the work of the church. We're going to talk about that next week. That's not our responsibility. But you can do what you are able to do. And I'll be honest with you, there's times where it's okay to say no. You know, you're going to lose your family because you can't say no. You're going to lose your soul because you neglect God. And again, don't you read this as an excuse. That's not the point. I've already talked about excuses. But just the point is do what you're able to do to the best of your ability. But just realize that you can't do everything for everybody. But that's not really the issue for most of it, is it? Because most of us can do more than what we are doing right now. And of course that leads to the opposite time, or the opposite point as we bring this to a conclusion. As Christians, we are servants. And we're to be there for one another, and we realize the responsibility of that. But you need to realize that as a child of God, don't overly burden your brethren. There are some people that are just simply takers. Everything they do is about what's in it for me. And actually, they're selfish. They're selfish in the way they behave their lives, and they expect you to do everything for them. And they don't do anything for anybody else many times. How many are there like that? You know, they'll come to you and they'll bark orders at you. Do this. Do that. You're my brother in Christ, so you're obligated to do this or to do that for me. That's a wrong attitude. In Galatians chapter 5 and in verse number 13, you're told there, do not use your opportunity, or do not use your liberties as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. You serve others, but they serve you. Or they serve you as well. And that's the point. You need to also be a servant to others. Now that's not to say that we're not glad to help if there's a legitimate, genuine need. We need to be there. Have I said that enough? You know, we need to be there for one another. But the point is as servants of God, we're going to strengthen each other in every way that we can. And so there you have some examples of how we serve. If you want to be viewed as great in the eyes of God, you're going to serve others to the best of your ability. And I will tell you right now that that's what we need as the Lord's body. And that's what the world needs to see in every one of us as Christians, serving God. Isn't that what Jesus said in Matthew 5 and verse 16 when He said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven? What are we doing so that others, or so that God will be glorified in our lives? Lesson's yours. Think about it. Turn your songbooks now to number 642. 642, I am resolved no longer to linger. Obviously what we've been talking about is something that if we look at our lives and we find that we're not everything we ought to be, we need to make up our mind that we're going to change. You know, you cannot change the past, but you can change what happens from this moment forward. If you have not been living the way that you ought to live, repent of your sins and go to God in prayer, confessing those sins, and He will forgive you. If you have never obeyed the gospel, then why not become a Christian this morning? If you believe in Jesus, repent of your sins, confess Him as the Son of God, and be baptized. Be immersed in a watery grave, as we read in Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. Raised to walk in newness of life. We're ready to help you if that is your need in becoming a child of God. So if there is any way at all that you're subject to the invitation, resolve to take care of that right now as we